We're talking camera. Two double C. We're talking camera.
A 2CC Tim Shaw podcast.
The tragedy of the drought in New South Wales, it's even affecting rural communities around Canberra. Today we find out that the National Australia Bank has promised to stop fleecing struggling farmers. And we understand former Premier of New South Wales, Mike Baird, is going to be touring New South Wales with the Chief Executive of the National Australia Bank. They'll be in the city of Wagga Wagga to announce that the bank would no longer apply harmful default interest rate hikes to struggling farmers. Well, it's too late for the Jones family. Farmer Les Jones this month will shoot all 1,200 of his starving sheep and bury them in a mass grave on his barren farm in northwestern New South Wales. News.com.au reported in the Telegraph story, at Goolie, west of Gunnedah, the Joneses are in an impossible situation. Even if they could find an abattoir willing to buy their livestock, which is highly unlikely, the sheep are too gaunt to legally be put on a truck. They've spent all their money on their 670-hectare property just to buy feed. They've run out of that cash. We've spoken earlier about the fact to get a load of hay from South Australia, bring it up into New South Wales, $12,000 a load, and the transport costs are two times the cost of the hay itself. It's been an issue in the National Party room. Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack, deeply concerned about regional and rural Australia. But it's concern about what is the future. There are men and women, rural men and women, that are the backbone of our food bowl economy. But when the rain ain't falling, what can they do? Large parts of New South Wales experiencing the worst drought in more than a decade. Our region isn't immune. Dry weather hurting farmers around Bungendore, Braidwood, Yass, and the Lanyon Valley. But work is being done to try and mitigate the effects of drought. Gary Nairn is chairman of the Maloon Institute, is the former federal member for Eden Monaro, and I'm pleased to say Gary Nairn joins me on the line now. Gary, welcome back to 2CC Breakfast.
Good morning, Tim. Good to be with you.
What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy. The work is being done to try and mitigate the effects of the drought. How severe is this dry spell? You've been around a while. Is it one of the worst?
It's very severe, and we've had very cold weather, as you know, as well, and that very cold weather on top of drought conditions sort of accentuates the drought. I mean, I see it similar back in the late 90s, which where it was quite severe down in the Monaro when I was first elected to Parliament. It's in, you know, similar sorts of situations as that. It certainly is hitting this region as well as other parts of New South Wales and Australia.
Gary, how does the cold weather make the drought even worse?
Well, when you've had dry weather, very little rain, and then you get really, really heavy frosts on top of that. What feed some people might have on the ground is certainly affected due to that heavy frost. So, you know, one after another sort of thing it is. So that's why the work that we're doing out at the Maloon Institute, out between Bungendore and Braidwood, we believe is important in rehydrating the landscape. It's difficult when you're right in a drought, but we look to doing this work when you do have reasonable conditions, and we've been able to show the work that's been done over a number of years out there is helping to make the landscape a bit more resilient to these sorts of extremes, and effectively rehydrating the landscape, putting the water back into the landscape, taking energy out of the water with the repair that we've done on creeks, and getting that water back into the landscape, which gives you more coverage, more vegetation coverage, and when you when you do get that rehydration into the landscape, you're effectively increasing humidity to sort of in a microclimate sense, I suppose, and that increased humidity, because you've got that vegetation on the ground, certainly counters against the extreme in temperatures, and also the little microclimate that you set up around the water, soil, and plants with that coverage, which has an effect of reducing temperature ranges and extremes. So, you know, as governments look at how they can help farmers at times like this, you know, I think back now to my time in government, and I think the areas that that a lot of farmers need assistance of in these sort of circumstances to be able to really translate from sort of one system to another and help them set themselves up to be resilient for that next drought, which inevitably will come.
Yeah, they do. Is this a national emergency, Gary?
Well, certainly we believe that doing landscape repair, rehydration is an area that you can minimise the impact of the changing climate, and there's no doubt that that is occurring, and the work we're seeing happen, and we're now doing this work on a landscape scale, sort of a catchment scale. The project that we're working on has had recognition by the UN as one of only five examples demonstrating environmental repair to achieve more productive and resilient agriculture. And I think if we can do more of this at a catchment scale and get the landscape in better shape, we can avert this sort of tragedy into the future.
You know, I've got callers to my program, Gary Nairn, telling us basically foreign aid, when the farmers need our aid, should we be diverting some of that foreign aid into farm aid? And should there be some form of national assessment, the generational issue of generation after generation of the same family on the same property, climate change, the differences in the landscape, that lack of, if you like, land management that you've described as part of the work of the Maloon Institute. Do we need some form of ranking that can determine the viability of some of these lands generationally held for that future productivity?
Well, certainly there needs to be work done in a very broad sense, and the opportunities that many of the properties do actually have need to be better assessed. And, you know, one of the things that we're also doing, we have a relationship with Rothamsted Research, which is the oldest agricultural research centre in the world based in the UK, and between Rothamsted and University College London and the Maloon Institute and the Australian National University, we're looking at how we can collaborate and particularly in providing innovative technology to help drive some of the innovation that's needed in agriculture. And that's a project that we're talking with the UK government and the Australian government to act in a collaborative sense, because interesting that the UK, with them leaving the EU, are now looking out for partners beyond the EU in some of this research, and we've got the really a great opportunity with what we've established at the Maloon Institute out there between Bungendore and Braidwood to take that sort of innovation much, much further. And be able to work with the broader agricultural community on these sorts of innovative ways of looking at not only your landscape but the agriculture that's taking place on the landscape.
Absolutely, Gary. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Maloon Institute, the Maloon Institute, MULLOON, the Maloon Institute.org. Thanks, Gary.
Many thanks, Tim.
Thanks. Gary Nairn, chairman of the Maloon Institute, former federal member for Eden Monaro. And Gary said it, you know, all those years ago when he was first federal member, you know, the challenges that beset those farmers. But, you know, it's great initiative, the National Australia Bank. They're calling on other banks to not apply those penalty interest rates when farmers are fraught not only with the challenges of dealing with drought, but certainly with dealing with the financial management of their farm.